presided over the election of the according to rule 130 of the National Assembly rules, if the chairperson is not able to perform his or her functions as a chair, the committee must elect one of its members as the acting chair. I will therefore call for nomination. Over to Mr. Mahlelo.
No, thanks. My name is A.F. Mahlelo. I nominate Ntumeleng Msaza to be the acting chair for the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Mahlelo. Is there a seconder?
Yes, my name is Wamaja Hinson. I'd like to second that.
Thank you very much. Are there any objections on the nomination? There are no objections. Thank you. Are there any further nominations? There are no further nominations. Thank you very much, Mr. Musala. You are now the acting chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Health. You can take your seat. Thank you.
So thanks very much. Good morning, colleagues. Good morning, everybody. First, let me take this opportunity to appreciate the small confidence what we are given to me by my colleagues to preside over this particular meeting. It's an honor and a privilege. I hope we'll be able to cooperate together to ensure that this particular meeting is successful and productive. Before wasting time, I'm going to go straight into the agenda. I'm going to allow members to introduce themselves so we proceed with the other items of the agenda. And I'll give over to members of Parliament first to introduce themselves. I'll start with myself. I'm Ntumeleng Msaza, a member of this particular committee.
Thank you, Honorable Acting Chairperson. My name is Harry Forming, I'm a member of the committee.
Well, my chair, member of the committee.
Krishna Sale, a member of the committee.
And Zaki Maisel, a member of the committee.
Maureen Fielders, member of the committee.
Can proceed from that side and go
home.
I'm representing the Cape Bush Office Association and also a member of the National Traditional Healers Committee.
Come on. I'm Herman Chief Kutela of the Royal House of Cape Town Association. I'm a custodian of national health in the area of South Africa. I'm a Kush to the President of the African Medical Doctors Union.
We can't hear you, ma'am. Can you press the button, please?
Shalala, can I have a member of the committee?
Okay. Church of Magusto and the Director General of the.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Joe Holt. I'm the Registrar of Medicines.
Morning, Sobazani. My name is Petisile Maseko, member of the TNHA and also the CHO coordinator. Thank you.
My name is Bruno Prom, chairman of the TNHA.
And he reads the Secretary General of the TNHA.
Good morning, everyone. Shibir Benu, Central Pass.
My name is Rukunoma Koshi from the Special Department of Health.
Kari Mahua, Minister of
Health. Morning, all. My name is Rukunoma from the National Department of Health.
I'm John Mahal, ISCA member of the TNHA.
Helen Frank, supporter of the TNHA. Hello, my name
is
Thank you very much for the introduction. Shall we proceed straight to our projects, if you have?
Yes, an apology from the chair, who's not feeling well. She has been put off. An apology from Ms. Ignan Sheikh and Mr. Matthias.
Can you pronounce ourselves on the apologies, Honorable Members? It's a move for adoption. Any second? I would read it. Second. Honorable Colleague moves for the second, the acceptance of apologies. Now, before we adopt the agenda, Honorable Members, it's going to be very, very much important that I just outline briefly that We were requested by the TNHA for a presentation emanating from one of our public hearing meetings that we had where in at a particular point in time we assumed that we were not ready in terms of speaking to the subject matter that we were busy with around the medicines and substance deal. And at a particular point in time, we then requested them to go back and prepare a presentation which is related to the subject matter. In our last week meeting, we then received a correspondence from them requesting to make a presentation, which we accepted as a committee. Because we are at a stage with regard to the deal where as a committee, we are debating and discussing the presentations made by all the stakeholders. So we felt that must even that must be the opportunity to make their presentation also, so that we don't leave them outside when we analyze the process of the bill. That's the first thing. The second thing, in relation to the agenda, before we are talking, before I call for adoption, is that we're not going to have department opinion on the presentation. We're going to allow TNHA to make a presentation. We'll then have questions for parties and areas that we think we might need more elaboration. Then from there we'll do the that because we are still going to engage the committee on all the submissions made. So we're not going to give the department an opinion at this particular stage to reflect on that. It's not a particular item, please cancel it on your agenda. It was just put there by mistake. Can I come to the adoption of the agenda? The adoption of the agenda means that particular change on our members.
rumah salam. I move that amendment.
In second now, Honorable James Sessions. So I didn't call wasting time calling TNH. I'm told there is a problem with technology. So you present, we have to follow the presentation looking at the document. I hope all of us have the document. Those who have, please, let's do an honorable thing of sharing. So I'm going to give them the opportunity to do a presentation. They will outline how they organize themselves, whether it's going to be one person doing the presentation or all of them or whatever. At any time, it is now their opportunity to make a presentation to us. Thank you very much. The platform is yours, gentlemen and ladies.
Thank you. My presentation, I thought the manager chair, but I see that the chair has changed we have three presentations. I'm going to be doing the introduction, and then Anthony Rees will be talking about our position to the problem, and talking about the presentation from this point. So thank you for inviting us back to do our presentation and concerns around the start of the book. My presentation will clarify our understanding regarding two systems of medicine and the different way their medicine should be regulated. It is not at all clear to talk about the practice of medicine as the whole medical practice are similar in principle. It is not at all clear to talk about medicinal products as if they can all be concertinaed within one authority. It is not at all clear that medical science, as generally understood, is the only way to understand them systems and heal humans of the illness. I'm a medical doctor qualified in 1965 and specialized in gastroenterology. In 1978, I decided that I no longer wanted to prescribe drugs because they were seriously toxic, and I often could not help but visit a patient who was suffering from the toxicity of drugs or from the illnesses that they had. While doctors in general believe that the benefits of drugs are worth the risk, I was less convinced. I started a serious research of natural approaches to health and ill health, and over many years in the non-drug treatment of ill health. Apart from the drugs, I stopped using drugs and only used natural products. Around the world today, there are two systems of medicine being practiced. One is called biomedicine, or conventional medicine, and sometimes scientific medicine. The other system of medicine is called traditional medicine, or natural medicine. Between the two is integrated medicine by practice, and which takes the middle way and includes the best of both approaches. In some parts of the world, traditional medicine is the only system in place. In places like China and India, where there is strong support for traditional medicine, these two systems work alongside each other in close cooperation. In China, for example, there is traditional medicine hospitals, some of them are as much as 6 stories high, where the stock is made of 70% traditional practitioners and 30% medical doctors. Operations are performed by the surgeons, and the traditional doctors treat in-house patients with their traditional medicines. In most first world countries, the so-called modern scientific medicine is the dominant medicine and claims to have the high ground because of its so-called scientific approach. In South Africa, we have a strong and powerful African traditional medicine, which has been trampled upon by the conventional medical Western medicine system and is dangerous of being subsumed by it. I need to point out, however, that the science which has made possible the computer age and sending spaceships to the moon does not do very well when it comes to living systems. Living systems are different to computers, and human beings cannot be treated like computers. They are not machines, but have emotions, feelings, thinking minds, knowing minds, soul and spirit. Most of this cannot be measured, and yet it is very much involved in health and your health. Medical science has the arrogance to assume that the science of measurement is the only way to science. There are many ways to do science. Traditional knowledge systems based on hundreds of years of experience, is also science. There's a science of experience, and there's a science of experience, and it is valid. There's a science of experience, and it is as valid as any good science. Why medicine is regarded as modern medicine, supposedly free from superstition and unscientific claims of the past. Traditional systems are regarded as unscientific and primitive. In South Africa, traditional healers online and healing with herbs and divination or gun throwing have been dismissed as just a placebo effect. The same arrogant attitude is also present for the power of prayer, laying on hands, and any form of healing such as homeopathy, when the parameters of healing are not explainable within a modern scientific methodology. If it can't be explained by science, the thinking goes, then it is not scientific, not real, and can be dismissed. It is important to broaden our understanding of science to include traditional knowledge systems. Traditional African medicine is backed by the science of experience. The human being can't be measured, only some of the body functions. Thus, the human being as a whole becomes less important when it comes to ill health, and only the disease is focused on. Messages from the ancestors are seen to be delusions of the healer, but scientists' inspiration and intuitive knowing are effective. We choose what we want to believe in and disregard the belief system of others. This is arrogant and discriminatory. South Africans need to examine their attitude towards African traditional practitioners. We have a lineage of knowledge transfer that stretches back hundreds if not thousands of years. There is much to learn from this experience. The science of measurement and the science of experience must discover each other's limits and possibilities. Human life is not simple. Ill health and disease is not simple, but rather an expression of something much deeper. It should not be reduced to a question of treating disease with drugs. And infecting conventional medical science that require answers and test tubes. But it seems that we have a whole range of wonderful drugs. The fact is that my medicine today is the third or fourth most common cause of ill health and death. Anti-inflammatory drugs alone cause 16,000 deaths every year in America alone. Vioxx, also another anti-inflammatory, is estimated to have killed 27,785 people around the world before being withdrawn from the market. The war against cancer is very far from being won. The amount of chronic disease continues to increase, despite the fact that the cause of any diseases are well known. Hospitals are becoming dangerous places to visit because of superbugs. So let me just explain these two models of medicine and how they work, and how they differentiate between each other. The one model, the biomedical model, treats disease. The traditional, natural, and integrated model for health. One of the confusing problems is we often use similar language when they mean different things. I can't actually show you my slide, which is a little bit unfortunately, but in order to understand the two separate models, one needs to understand that everything starts with causes. There are no single causes to any disease. In every person, there's a whole range of different causes, which has to do with lifestyle, with weight, with that food choices, with exercise and stress. In every single ill health, all these causes are present. Everyone has multiple causes. And these causes over time lead to dysfunction in the system. So we start off with causes, and the causes lead to dysfunction. And the best way to understand it is to understand the way a motor car works. There are a whole range of problems that slowly start coming to the motor car. The motor car gets out of tune, and if it stays out of tune long enough, it breaks down. The breakdown is the disease. But the out of tune is what I call dysfunction. So we have three, what I call three phases. The first phase is the causes. The causes lead to out of tune. And the out of tune can stay for years, many, many years. We all know that cancer takes 26 years to develop. All that time the cancer is developing, the system is running out of tune. Eventually, it breaks down and we have a disease. But if you only concentrate on the disease, you're never going to heal the person. Healing is a different function. Healing has to do with improving health. Only health can heal. Disease can't be dismissed. So drugs are very powerful and toxic. They must be powerful because they must interfere with the biochemical process in order to treat symptoms. They are high risk. Dr. Melvin Kirschner, who wrote a book entitled All Medicines Are Poisons, and he explained, everything doctors do has a risk-benefit ratio. There is no drug that does not have a risk attachment. Natural medicines are extremely, extremely low risk because they are not meant to interfere with the system's functions, but to support the natural innate healing potential of the body. This is an enormous, enormous difference that we're talking about. One, all natural medicines support health, drugs, and treatment. More people die from lightning than from natural medicines. One system supports health, promotes health, and the other treats disease. The system cannot function normally if any vitamin, mineral, or other nutrients are not present in sufficient quantities to support normal function. We know that at least 40% of people are deficient in magnesium, 30% in selenium. Iodine is such a major deficiency that governments of Oz have insisted that it's inserted into salt. So you have iodine salt because of the fact that iodine is such a major deficiency problem. Folic acid is a major deficiency and why it's added to so many foods. Vitamin C cannot be made in the body and is required in large amounts, especially under stress. Diabetes type 2 and heart disease can be easily controlled by proper lifestyle management and does not need drugs. Diabetes is not a deficiency of drugs. It is bad medicine to be giving an obese type 2 patient drugs as a first option when the cause is clearly known. It is not due to deficiency of drugs, but bad food choices, poor lifestyle and stress. Natural medicines are not meant to block physiological processes, but to help the body to heal itself. Healing is a natural process happening all the time. If you are healthy, it is because your body systems are functioning normally. If you are unhealthy, it is because your natural innate health is either lost or weak. Traditional healers know this. All health practitioners know this. All integrative doctors know this. But the conventional medical paradigm only knows how to use powerful drugs to treat disease, when what is required most of the time is moving the dysfunction, the out of tune of the body systems back to their original normal healthy function. Health heals. It is what health does. Drugs may be great for symptomatic control, but cannot return the system to healthy normal function. Only natural health products can do this. These are health products because they support health. Drugs are synthetic chemicals and cannot be called health products. They belong to a separate category and they manage symptoms. Health products are vitamins, minerals, fatty acids, amino acids, etc. The Australian teaching has a two-tier system for the regulations of medicines, including what they call complementary medicines, and this is a risk-based approach. Medicines are classified as either high risk or low risk. High-risk medicines must go through the whole gamut of GMP and efficacy studies. Low risk, which includes most natural products, must have appropriate GMP but are not required to have efficacy studies. The experience of practitioners is enough. In Australia, the EGA has a strong pharmacovigilance program, which involves the assessment of adverse events that are reported to the TGA by consumers, health professionals, the pharmaceutical industry, international medicine regulators, and other medical and scientific experts of the TGA. The risk of any drug, even the least toxic drug, is much higher than that of the majority of all natural medicines. And the limitations of the conventional scientific model are becoming more obvious by the year. Without supporting health, treating disease only perpetuates chronic disease and makes people dependent on drugs. As the TNHA, we are appealing for a separate regulatory authority for our health products. We insist on having regulators who have informed and intimate knowledge of our products, have been identified by our practitioners, and have no issue of bias toward our paradigm. Each health is unacceptable and demonstrates a lack of respect for our practitioners, traditional and integrated, who I believe hold the key to health and healing. Regarding the semi-private nature of SALCA, I'd just like to quote from Dr. Daniel Kilala, who was the editor of the South African Medical Journal, and he wrote this in July 2010. The The power and influence of drug companies in the registration process is a continuing source of much disquiet among other clinical researchers and medical journal editors. The clinical trials used to support drug registration are almost always funded and directed by the manufacturer, with huge financial interest in the outcomes. More often than not, such evidence is shrouded in secrecy on the excuse of protection of intellectual property. And he further notes, there is a crying need for greater transparency, integrity, and independence from Big Pharma if the regulators are to earn the complete trust of practitioners and the consumers. A semi-private body like SAHPRA can very quickly become, like the FDA in America, driven by the business, which pays for their own registration process. I'd also like to add just a quote from Dr. Angel, who's editor of the New England Journal of Medicine for 20 years. He said this: physicians can no longer rely upon the medical literature for valid and reliable information. She reluctantly concluded that prescription drugs are not nearly as effective as the publication of randomized trials suggests. She also said that it is often possible to make clinical trials come out pretty much any way you want, which is why it is so important that investigators be truly interested in the outcome of their work. My wish is for a unique African medicine to emerge, for the common good of every ill person, and the recognition of the value of African traditional medicine, integrated medicine and natural medicine. I should just add one thing, that the Allied Health Professional Council, who have their own government-funded structure, and was supposed to represent complementary medicine, represents only a few hundred practitioners and excludes integrated practitioners, traditional healers, and any emerging health practitioners. Yeah, I'd like to conclude at that point and thank you for your attention. I'm going to ask Dr. Anthony Rees now to present our suggested solution to the problem that we have.
Thank you, Bernard. I know that's been quite difficult to pass a slide presentation because I know the picture is a thousand words. Hopefully, we will make that presentation available to the Secretary of the Committee for confidence that we could disseminate in the following hours. My presentation is going to talk about a possible regulatory proposal under the SAHPRA, which will accommodate this new different paradigms of biomedical model, i.e. Traditional and natural health products. We believe that traditional medicines and natural health products do fit together because they are sister sciences in many respects. The WHO sees them as sister sciences from different countries and regions around the world. Our departments and ministries seem to think otherwise because certain WHO directives have said they should be separated, which we believe is completely erroneous. My presentation is going to be on talking about balancing our consumer choice and safety in traditional and natural health products. Let me start with my presentation, the one that you have in front of you, with the slide presentation. That's the one I'm going to present. I'm going to give you a snapshot of what is happening in the traditional and natural health sector at this present time in South Africa. With respect to complementary medicines, which are currently defined under regulations, or what we prefer to call natural health products, there are quite minus 14,000 natural health products registered or receive registry numbers by the NCC. In terms of audit, a notice R204, which was published in February 2002, and this audit process ended in likely August 2013. Those are products that are currently sold on the market in hospitals, pharmacies, through tablet selling, and various other means. And by all means, may not be all the products on the market. Only a percentage of companies we are aware of submitted their data for the audit. These products that were included in the audit were traditional Western herbal medicines, traditional Chinese medicines, traditional Ayurvedic medicines, traditional Unani tip, and homeopathic medicines. The market sector for this new specific product is approximately 8.5 million rand per annum, And the products called up for registration in terms of notice, regulation notice 870, in terms of section 35 of the Progressive Act, in the 15th of November 2013. Health supplements, which we know as vitamins and minerals currently, have a certain set of limits, have been called up for registration as category A pharmaceutical drugs in terms of regulatory notice 837 of 28th of October 2014. The total definition for these new categories, i.e. complementary medicines or natural health products in the current Act. The current medicines and related substances Act do not have a definition for these substances, which is problematic. We are of the belief that the regulations that were published were ultra-virus. In fact, that the Council, because it did not have a definition for these substances within the Principal Act, were not in a position to create a whole new category of products in terms of Section 35, which covers an entire new paradigm and many tens of thousands of products. We believe this should be an issue that should be placed before the legislature, and the legislature should create an ad hoc committee to look at a way forward and a new vision to these products under SAHPRA. What happened is the regulations were signed before the publication of SAHPRA and circumvented this democratic process in Parliament. We found that there have been a high court action in this regard that has been brought by the Health Products Association, and that is a matter currently before the courts. In terms of safety, in South Africa, we have zero reported deaths or adverse reactions related to these natural health products or complementary medicines since the inception of this Act in 1965. Some will say that there is no mechanism for reporting these products under the current system. We believe that is incorrect. Clinicians will also find these findings and a duty to report them to the various centres. When we talk about African traditional medicines, or African traditional health products, we are aware that currently there are 24,000 indigenous plants in South Africa. There are plus or minus 3,000 that are used in traditional healthcare practice on a daily basis in this country. There are between 65-80% of South African population utilizing these products, which is up to 30 million people. We bear in mind that people, many of these people, use these products before seeking medical intervention from the biomedical system as a matter of choice. The industry was mooted to be a 4 billion rand per annum market, the traditional African medicines market, in 2008. And there's more than 600 of these products, or substances, mainly herbs, that have been actively studied by local institutions, MRC, six universities, Department of Science and Technology, etc. There are approximately 500 existing monographs which have been published, which detail these specific rights. And currently there are no regulations that exist to protect the public and to assure safety of use, efficacy, or administration and application of these substances. So we have a conundrum in that currently we have a regulatory system for non-indigenous traditional medicines, and yet we have no regulatory system for indigenous traditional medicines. We are aware that the Medicines Control Council has no functioning African traditional medicines expert subcommittee. And in the past involved presentation to this committee on the 1st of September 2014, before the public hearings, indicated that African traditional medicines will be regulated under SAHPRA and are a chief reason for the SAHPRA, among other things. The Parliamentary Monitoring Group reported that after the last round of public hearings in November, that the DG, Ms. Maybona, Precious and Sopa, reconfirmed this in a question from the committee members. Deputy Minister Professor Gwen Ramahova has also made public statements concerning the fact. Traditional healers and organizations and the traditional health practitioners in the council, of which is present here today, were never informed of these intentions for the Ministry, Department of Health, or NCC to incorporate these products under the SAHPRA. We find it very, very late, and that the committee has deliberated to such a far extent, the law has been written and drafted, and yet they were never brought into the process. This we find highly irregular and in contravention of the promotion of administrative justice act. The constitutional matters that we've identified, serious ones that we would like to talk about. And that is, the first is inequality. And this is in terms of the existing Act 101 of 1965 and this book, Bill 6 of 2014. The implementing of regulations for non-indigenous traditional medicines, vis-a-vis traditional Western herbal medicines, traditional Chinese medicines, traditional Ayurvedic medicines, traditional United medicines, while there's no concurrent regulatory system for indigenous African traditional medicines. This creates an apartheid and therefore discriminatory. The Equality Clause, Section 9 of the Bill of Rights, unequivocally states, the state cannot unfairly discriminate directly or indirectly against anyone on one or more grounds, including, and I will quote the relevant part, race, ethnic or social origin, conscious belief or culture. No person may unfairly discriminate directly or indirectly against anyone on all these grounds, in terms of Section 3. National legislation, i.e. this law, must be enacted to prevent or prohibit unfair discrimination. Current regulations for complementary medicines are discriminatory in that they isolate a certain set of traditions and regulate them out of existence, while traditional African medicines currently have no regulatory process in place. Discrimination on one or more of these grounds listed is unfair, and this is established that the discrimination is fair. We would like to hear the department, the ministry, or the Medicine Control Council answer us today in telling us how this discriminatory practice that has occurred is fair. The Constitution is the supreme court law of this republic, and law, or how that inconsistent with it is invalid, and the obligation imposed on it must be fulfilled. That is a serious constitutional issue that we are currently facing. The TNSO has attempted to ascertain why the former Minister of Health, namely Mansi Sabalala Tumalo, decided to separate African traditional medicines from its Hutu traditions of complementary medicines. In a draft policy for African traditional medicines for South Africa published under notice regulation of the Message 906 of 2008, no logical rationale has ever been expressed. More recently, the Director General of the Department of Health, who is here present today, President Sorto, and previous Registrar of Medicines, Mrs. Manita Heller, have made statements that African traditional medicines and complementary medicines will be regulated under separate legislation under SARA. We informed that the WHO Expert Advisory Panel for Traditional Medicines resolved around a decade ago that indigenous traditional medicines could be regulated differently to non-indigenous traditional medicines by member states. The WHO Traditional Medicine Strategy documents for 2014 to 2023, page 15, reiterates this. We have been informed that our Minister of Health has adopted the prescripts of this guideline. The TNHO asserts that even though the policy decisions in this regard have been formulated in accordance with the WHO guidelines, and I'm sure President Fuku will know about that guideline, she served a term in Geneva dealing with this exact issue. National legislation must first pass constitutional limits irrespective of international law. This separate development policy for these medicines is discriminatory, unconstitutional, and therefore must be revisited by this oversight committee as a matter of urgency. We appeal to this committee to A, call for a review of the complementary medicines regulations published on the 15th of November 2014 and its various amendments, and B, establish terms of reference for an ad hoc committee to envision and establish an inclusive traditional and natural health policy framework under the SAHPRA, which is transparent, appropriate, and fair. The TNHA has proposed to exhaust all dialogue with the state in this regard and in good faith, with the hope that we can remedy the current situation amicably. However, we have drawn up all papers to challenge these existing constitutional and legal issues should the status quo remain onto the path of this law into law. Now we talk about public access and public sovereignty, or personal sovereignty. Current regulatory schemes was unilaterally imposed on the natural health products sector in November 2013, and without prior engagement with stakeholders or warning, created a legal lacuna in terms of compliance. The requirements for the registration of the majority of natural health products, those which have more than one ingredient, require that these products be researched and assessed in the same methodology and procedure that pharmaceutical drugs are tested. FCC erroneously believes that these combination products are somehow novel drugs, and hence they pose a higher risk to consumers, and that any health claims made for them by manufacturers must be product specific. They henceforth prohibited from extrapolating the product intended use from research and product into these ingredients. In any event, they will no longer be classified as category D complementary medicines, but category A pharmaceutical drugs by default. The current regulations stop natural health innovation dead in its tracks. These regulations, you're probably thinking, and I'm sure that the colleagues in the departments of the MCC are saying, well, we're talking to regulation and not the Act here. Well, the Medical Act needs to be fundamentally amended to actually deal with this regulatory crisis that we're in, so that we can have a smooth transition going forward and actually eliminate all the aggrieved grievances that we have. And so we find that we cannot detach the current regulatory system from the SAHPRA and what we would want the SAHPRA to do to remedy the problem. The result of these inappropriate biomedical criteria built into the pharmaceutically style regulations is that up to 85% of natural health products currently sold will be voluntarily withdrawn by the market by manufacturers and importers who simply can't jump the hurdles before them. As a result, patients of integrated medical practitioners, allied health practitioners, dietitians, and nutritional therapists will no longer have access to these medicines. The natural health product retail industry will be severely impacted upon, and consumers will no longer be able to choose the products they use to get well and stay well. The state fiscus will also lose billions of rands in tax revenue, and tens of thousands of jobs will be shed. We are already witnessing companies being forced to reformulate their products in anticipation of the category-specific call-ups over the next 4 years, in terms of a roadmap that has been put before this industry by the Medicine Control Council. The result is that many of the favorite household health brands will disappear off the shelf, becoming more expensive due to compliance recovery costs, and will lose their original efficacy as a result, and through reformulation. The state of virtue of establishing statutory health councils for both the allied health practitioners and the traditional health practitioners is obliged to extend pari passu self-determined regulations for traditional and natural health products, prescribed by those professionals and by extension allow the public to continue to have fair access to these products. The unintended consequences of the current regulation threaten to severely limit the public's access to health products of their choice and is therefore unconstitutional. The Freedom of Security of Persons Clause in Section 12 of the Bill of Rights refers. Everyone has the right to bodily and psychological integrity, which includes the right to security and control over their own body. The capricious and rational limitations of said rights by the current regulatory process must be invalidated. So, essentially right now, and the question of this commission is asking going forward, is that we really have two choices in this matter. The first is that if we either neglect or delay the regulation of indigenous African traditional medicines on a non-level playing field as they are, with indigenous traditional medicines on a non-level playing field with non-indigenous traditional medicines, and continue to perpetuate a culturally divisive, ethnically biased, and racially discriminatory framework which will be strenuously opposed and possibly end up with no regulations for this paradigm of traditional natural health products. And the court can instruct that these regulations be repealed. Or we have choice two, that we embrace equality, foster good relations between all traditional health practices, and create a unified framework to balance consumer choice with appropriate safety and quality and efficacy safeguard mechanisms. This framework, we clearly separate the biomedical and traditional health paradigms, giving each their own autonomy The TNA should be destroyed if possible now. In the following slides, we will present a framework proposals which the book can achieve. The TNA chain of stakeholders believe that we need to create a dividing line between what Dr. Bernard Ron has already described as the two paradigms of health. The dividing line will be on one side the pharmaceutical drug directorate or the pharmaceutical industry and its products, and the other will be the traditional and natural health products directorate. We would like the SAHPRA to create two directorates totally independent from one another, dealing with each paradigm accordingly. In the schematic that we have presented, it is a draft at this present point. You will see on the left-hand side all the pharmaceutical drug directorate subcommittees are listed, and on the right you have your traditional natural health products directorate. This would include African Traditional Medicines Committee. That specific committee will have subcommittees which will be established, and for what we currently look at, the National Health Products Committee could have separate subcommittees established under those committees. We want the sub-report in terms of its composition to have at least four people from the traditional and natural health sector to be represented on that board, as they make up a considerable percentage of products available on the market. We would like the autonomous directors for traditional natural health products, as is the case in Canada and various other countries in the world, made up of full-time staff or experts in the categories listed below, and it has as a secretariat engagements with the SAHPRA board and the Department of Health and Macro Policies Issues only. Below that, we will have separate subcommittees category subcommittees for African traditional medicines and for natural health products. And these will include or approve substances that will be entered into an electronic listing database. And I will come to that soon. And this committee will act as arbitrators in disputes related to decisions of the modality subcommittees below. The suggestion that each of these subcommittees for African traditional medicines and natural health products committee has 10 members each. Under the modality specific subcommittees, these will populate data for inclusion into the electronic listing system database that we're proposing. And they also receive and assess long-form applications which may come in from time to time, and their recommendations are made to the category subcommittee above. We suggest a number of persons between 3 and 8 to serve on these specific committees that are related to the modalities represented. We cannot stress enough that we would require of the traditional natural health product directorate and committees and subcommittees that these be predominantly staffed and by people who are in the natural health or are natural health experts, doctors of these professions and people who have studied these products extensively. We do not want it to be dominated as it is currently by people from the pharmaceutical westernized biomedical paradigm who are storming the process at present. We are aware that since maybe the department can confirm, and this would be something I would ask, under the current regulatory scheme that was implemented for complementary medicines in 2013, a set of specific products were called up for registration, and we are not aware of any of those products having been registered thus far in the first year. Maybe they can confirm whether there are other products that have been registered. Here we come with an alternative assessment system for the registration or listing of traditional and natural health products. With the owners exceedingly costly and inappropriate biomedical model currently in place for natural health products, the system will inevitably fail due to lack of compliance and legal challenges. The biggest losers will be the public, who will no longer have access to many of the products of their choice. To this end, we require a workable model which will A. recognize and protect the traditional and natural health paradigm of health. B. create new inclusive definitions for traditional and natural health products under the Act. C. Hand and control of traditional natural health practice experts in these represented sectors and shall not be influenced by biomedical decision makers. D. Allows for the rapid registration of products utilizing IT technology and a pre-approved list of traditional and natural health substances, accompanied by information on the substances, the daily dosage limits, if any, warnings and cautions, if any, and approved health plans sourced from monographs, research, and authoritative traditional medicine texts. E. We need to reverse the irrational notion that these mainly innocuous products are all unsafe. There should be a reverse onus on the traditional natural health directorate and its committees to demonstrate risks, if any, and act accordingly. F. We need to recognize the long-term traditional and empirical clinical and observational outcomes as proof of efficacy. The current biomedical evidence-based model is not appropriate for traditional and natural health products. We need to impose good manufacturing practice, or GMP, to guarantee quality of these products. The higher the potential risk, for example, injectable products or dose-critical products, GMP can be raised. Food-style GMP is more than adequate for most traditional and natural health products, and risk profiles of these substances used will determine the GMP that will be imposed. We want the provision for public to be well informed through appropriate labeling regulations, which set up clear labeling instructions for patients or users. We want this process to be open and transparent, and we want this to fulfill the requirements of the Biodiversity Act, Patient Management Act, and the regulations of bioprospecting, access, and benefit sharing as well. That is specifically related to African traditional medicines. The full document in front of you, the longer form document, the 33-page document, goes into more elaborate details on these recommendations. You can study it in your time, or we can answer questions which will reflect those proposals. We suggest that, in terms of the current system, we have a paper-based application system. For some products to be registered currently, natural products, you need one of the telephone directories, paperwork, and that's a huge expense and time to register a product. We have looked at other regulatory models abroad and have noticed that there are other more appropriate models that can be adopted in South Africa, such as an electronic listing system. And this system was originally mooted to be brought in to being before the SAMRA, the previous SAMRA amendments. For some unknown reason, they were, or should I say, were sold, and we still don't have reasons for that. And our country is not unique in its struggle to accommodate traditional and natural products into a regulatory environment which has been exclusively designed for pharmaceutical drugs. Some countries like Australia and Canada have already progressed far in creating regulatory frameworks and procedures for traditional and natural health products to obtain pre-market authorization. The Australian listing system under the Therapeutics Good Act system has been running successfully for close to 20 years. The Canadian third category system has just completed its 10-year transition process and up and running. I was involved in the creation of that Canadian system back in 1999 and 2000 when I was living in Vancouver, Canada. Both these systems make use of an electronic database which can be used to make product registration applications. The database contains all current traditional and medical health products and comments in the respective countries. Separate directors or special subcommittees have been established under the national regulatory bodies, staffed by experts in the modalities represented, same as we are proposing under the schematic. These labs collect data on the traditional natural health substances used to make products and populate the database with information related to safety, daily dosage limits, warnings, and pre-approved health plans for each of these substances. Manufacturers can simply maintain self-licensing, then log into an application module on the database and choose the ingredients on existing pre-approved lists and formulate the products to a safe daily limit and answer the warnings, if any, and health claims to their labels and associated marketing materials. In a matter of minutes, the product can be authorized electronically, and these listing systems are transparent, affordable, equitable, and allow the industry to grow. These lists are updated on a continual basis, and if certain products are later identified as trend risks, which could endanger the public or certain sectors of the public, companies are immediately notified and can reformulate schedule or remove the product speedily. The TNHA believes that a similar listing system can be adopted by favorable direct risk of traditional natural health under the Pharma. A similar system was mooted between 1996 and 2008 and was originally proposed by the Health Products Association in South Africa. Chief architect of the global system, which was proposed, Mr. Peter Cripps, has indicated to the traditional natural health line that he is happy to evaluate costs in a pilot that's up and running in about 6 months at a low cost of 150,000 rand for the initial IT development and subsequent filling of the database with the substance. We already have a database in South Africa that has been put together over time, and we are about 35%, 8% ahead of actually putting this database together. We are in a position to source much of the natural health product data from both Health Canada and the TGA in Australia if required. Many of these products are similar, and many of these products are exactly the same as these sold in these countries. There are about 600 African traditional medicine monographs already published by our local research institutes, universities, and the MRC. These substances and information can also be plugged into the listing system with ease and provide an equal opportunity for previously disadvantaged South Africans to access safe, quality, and effective indigenous health products. Such a system will not discriminate and will be of benefit to all South Africans. That's the conclusion of my presentation, and I just want to say that I've dedicated this presentation to the late Honourable Mario Ambrosini, who was instrumental in the early days of putting the NHA together. I thank you, and I look forward to your questions. Our next presenter will be Pepsine Mateko, who is a member of our executive committee and is coordinator of the traditional healers organization.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honourable Chairperson. First, I think it's important that we take this opportunity to thank the parliamentarians of the parliamentary follow-up committee on health and the Honourable Chairperson in that session for the opportunity granted us to come back to Parliament and make this presentation before committee, the Honourable Committee members. In response to Bill 6, which is the Medicines and Related Purposes Amendment Bill of 2014, the Traditional Healers Organization in partnership with the THNA as an alliance has workshopped its views, proposals based on a number of other legislation frameworks. Among others, it would include the National Reference Center for African Traditional Medicine, the South African Model for 2010, the World Health Organization Traditional Medicine Strategy for 2014-2023.
Sorry,
yeah.
I'm not sure where we are now. Do you have a presentation?
Yeah, online presentation on our Chairperson.
Yes.
Which is the
last? This one?
Yes, sir.
Oh,
okay. Thank you.
We have it.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir. I'll just make reference to some of the important legislative frameworks that have informed our contribution to, you know, to the amendment of this particular bill. We decided that we need to look into a number of reference materials such as the National Reference Center for African Traditional Medicine, a South African Model for 2010, the WHO Traditional Medicine Strategy for 2014-2023, the Traditional Health Practitioners Act for 22 of 2007, the Medical Schemes Act and its Regulation Act number 131 of 1998, the National Health Act number 61 of 2003, the National Health Charter of 2011, the current BBBEB Charter, the Pharmacy Act number 53 of 1974, the Health Professions Act number 56 of 1974, the Children's Act, number 38 of 2005, the Medicine and Related Purposes Act 101 of 1965, and of course the current bill under discussion of 2014. Now, all of these very important legislative documents have then assisted us to see whether or not African traditional medicine is best, you know, would be best allocated within the new establishment, which is the SAFRA proposed establishment. The THO then, having gone through an amendment bill, would like to first commend Parliament for the endeavor intended to create equality in medicine practice in the Republic. The act we are amending, which was drafted to control allopathic drugs such as the Benadryl, comes from the dark era of apartheid, the same era that proposed the medicine related and the medicine control council, an institution that lacked fairness, respect for dignity of Africans, the right to choice, the right to choose, the right to information, the right to cultural, linguistic, and religious practice, treatment with dignity, and freedom of association. This body was implemented to control allopathic medicines and its manufacturers, which is the Big Pharma, as opposed to all sorts of medicines as used by people today. In addressing this historical injustice, the traditional healers organization, with, you know, as a member of the TNNA, first, we must at all costs avoid replacing the MCC with a similar monster that has not assisted all violences in the past years. This proposed new structure, the SAPRA, must demonstrate transformation and understanding of a system of all healing systems as used by our people and their autonomous state. Importantly, this new structure must open up the sovereign right of individuals South Africans to choose the medical system of their choice. Subsequently, we note with displeasure that a meeting held on March 15, 2012, wherein only a group of 12 previously advantaged institutions were invited to make presentations on this new body, and thereby unconsciously ignoring the interest of about 70% of South Africans that consumes African traditional medicine. To understand exactly what we're talking about here, you may probably need to go through page 19 of Bill 6 on our mission. To ask this demonstrates how unfair medicine bias has entrenched itself in the structures of our government. It is very important that probably, you know, as an organization, you are able to qualify this to say, you know, if indeed the SAFRA is going to be mother institution to all of these sciences, healing sciences, now the question that we ask ourselves is, why is it that, you know, if traditional medicine, for instance, is going to be, you know, is going to be mothered by this particular body, why does traditional medicine in all institutions, including, you know, the traditional health practitioners council, why has it been left out from, you know, from the consultative process? You know, is it because, you know, we are an entity and or agent that the Department of Health does not think it's important for us to be contacted, because with them we don't seem to come through to the as a body that has to represent, you know, South African interests in general terms. Our understanding is that this proposed law should include a new authority under SAFRA to regulate African traditional medicine. This authority must be made up of specialists within our industry and accountable to the public and industry practitioners, as opposed to what we currently see within the MCC. We are therefore of the view that for this to happen, such an authority must account to the public, and this is an understanding that was here for many years. Since 2003, the Traditional Healers Organization has been advocating for the dismantling of the medical control council and replacing it with a body corporate that will be accountable to public. However, this body corporate, our vision for many years has been that it should be a body corporate that is, you know, that is understanding of the nature of medicine, of the nature of healing systems that we have in the country, and also ensuring that we are proportionally represented also in this administration. I mean that body is proportionally represented by key stakeholders. We are therefore of the view that for you to represent such authority must come to the public through the administrative territories and government to avoid a master-servant relationship with our public regulatory body. What is confusing is that it is not much different between this newly proposed regulatory body and the previous problematic medical control council, at least in principle. Now, looking into the composition of this proposed body, if you look into section 2C of the bill, which establishes the SAFRA board, we however, what is not clear is whether this new body will have a register or may have the duties of the register which is assumed by the new chief executive officer. Our humble view is that this is problematic as this register was previously responsible for registration, for registering medicines and without this office. This essential job will be lost to the office of the CEO, who in the main is a political figure charged with the responsibility of overall leadership of the administrative arm of the board. So in other words, what we're saying here is that we feel that in section 2C, we need to have at least register, the registrar appointed to assist in ensuring that they continue with registration of medicine. We contend strongly that the new SAFRA board must retain a register who must, however, not be a pharmacist this time around, but a person with a greater understanding of all medicine sciences who can therefore act neutral at all times. The board itself continues to affirm allopathic medical surgery as the only and the best medical model, as opposed to other bodies. This is because 85% of Africa of people to be appointed are for West and allopathic medicine. A separate regulatory body for African traditional medicine should have autonomy to ensure that all African traditional medicine value chain sizes are represented. The appointment of regulatory committees should be comprised of experts who have a proven track record on developing ATM, African traditional medicine, as a country. We can go as far as recruiting international experts. This is the only way African traditional medicine will be fully supported from the regulatory perspective and be able to enjoy pride of faith. The organization is of the view that clinical trials and research methodologies should demonstrate an understanding of the uniqueness of African traditional medicine and its application. To save government resources, research must appreciate that some plants have already gone through vigorous investigation and trials and should be uplifted to monograph stage. When conducting African traditional medicine trials, we must look to the empirical evidence, disciplines, research methodology without undermining African traditional medicine development. The same would go for complementary medicine. We must have them to add that we are alive to the fragility of allopathic scientific research, as evidenced by the recent years constructing strong oppositional views among some of the world's greatest scientists about what a healthy diet is. The Traditional Health Practitioners Act number 22/2007 anticipates the establishment of regulations to affirm the latter, meaning to affirm, the composition, the putting together of a traditional medicine committee. This begs the question, therefore, how did these regulations anticipated by the Traditional Health Practitioners Act find expression within SAFRA, if SAFRA is going to be constructed in the format that is presented or that is proposed in building? SAFRA authority functionaries. If Parliament is unable to dissociate African traditional medicine from other healing systems, we believe it should at least design the authority in this way. At a political level, we expect to have SAFRA executives, which will be responsible for political direction, and through the leadership of all the healing systems, such as such a body will be represented by all the key industry executives from the back committee. And at an administrative level, the THO is of the view that every industry must have its own executive committee with experts that reflect the industry's big interests. Such a subcommittee will be responsible for performing all administrative functions, including registration of industry medicines in liaison with industry councils. General comments. The following are some of the inputs to the amendment bill. The most important inputs that we feel are very important are general comments to the fact that, you know, when looking into the definition, there was nothing about African traditional medicine. When in actual fact, there was nothing about African traditional medicine, neither about traditional medicine. So we felt that it's important that at least in that process we are able to, you know, to see that. But then, we then suggested that at least when we talk about African traditional medicine, let us not speak about African traditional medicine without looking into definitions that are on the Traditional Health Practitioners Act, which explains traditional medicine as an African healing system utilized or administered to human beings or animals to diagnose and treat many diseases, prevent or reverse a disease state, and to maintain a good health and good look, or good look, and used for sanitary problems or challenges. In this case, to mean insecticides and all of that. And then the other one that we also looked at in terms of traditional medicine, which is by the WHO, it says traditional medicine means object of substance used in traditional health practice for the diagnosis, treatment, or prevention of physical or mental illness. It can be any curative or therapeutic, for any curative or therapeutic purpose, including the maintenance or restoration of physical or mental health or well-being of human beings, but does not include aid dependence, producing or dangerous substance or drugs, and is used in accordance with the practice of the professions regulated under the Traditional Health Practitioners Act, number 22 of 2007. Some of the general comments on complementary medicine. Section 1D should replace the definition of the WHO. In Section 2B, let us insert, as long as it does not undermine our sovereignty. And then under section 2C2A, we said that the board was too skewed in favor of allopathic medicine, because they're speaking about a number of aspects that are going to fit on the board, and some of the things that need to happen there, which includes the clinical trials. And we feel that clinical trials should be considered as of the history. This is the research methodology of both African traditional medicine and complementary medicine. And in such, we then have to insert ATM and CAMS from a group of experts because it is not included in there. Section 15C, which we need to insert, the board will have to consult with the relevant expert committee. Ladies and gentlemen, Honourable Chairman, thank you very much for the opportunity.
Now, thank you very much for your presentation. At this stage, I'm going to suggest that we get a 10 minute tea break. From then, we will come back and give you questions or clarities on the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any confusion created. I think your first page.
page under African Traditional Medicine. Gwen Ramaphosa, she is no longer the Deputy Minister of Health. So if you realize that in your presentation, you separate the 2014 process of public hearings from her statement, so the statement might have come when she was still the Deputy Minister. But the impression created that is that she actually made those comments during the process of the public hearings. The second point also, which you will have to separate going forward, is that PNG is not a parliamentary group, it's an independent private organization. So it's not a committee of parliament. So that must also be separated, you know, from your presentation, because like I'm saying, it might create a problem. At this particular stage, I'm going to move over now to members to ask questions for parties. The floor now is open for that process. Is there any addition that you'd like to make before we proceed with the questions?
Just in my presentation, I said Parliament's Monitoring Group reported that after the last round. Well, I'm talking about a statement that was published by the SCAT group regarding discussions that had taken place in the committee.
No, it's fine. I was just clarifying their role. So it must not appear that they are the council of the parliamentary system. They are just an independent force. Patients, Dr. Bumi, Dr. Jane, Honorable Nsanta, I see the honorable member of the party there wants to ask a question. Maybe we might have we'll do some higher talks with you on some of the questions you'd like to raise. You can lobby and allow members of the committee. Thank you. Can we proceed?
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. You certainly, since you've also spoken, spent a lot of time going through the substance and the letter of the bill, and have come up with alternatives, and we appreciate the work that you've done. Just three quick questions. The first is, in this presentation on this release, you speak a lot about, or very pointedly about, the adoption of WHO traditional medicine strategy, and how, you know, there's a dichotomy. What you, I think, is described as unhelpful dichotomy between non-indigenous and indigenous medicines, and that was used in our national policy of discrimination. Now, if you have a look at that actual strategy, it speaks quite pointedly about what its intention is. So it speaks about the fact that this policy, this is the WHO's policy, will require member states to determine their own national situations in relation to TNT and then developing those policies and regulations and guidelines that affect those challenges, quote unquote. Now, when it speaks of TNT, it speaks about traditional and complementary medicine, and so it actually comes those two together, indigenous and non-indigenous. And it doesn't seem to split it up a lot through the actual policy, at least on the surface sort of analysis. So, you can just highlight where the, because you've leveled some serious concerns about this. So where are the concerns in terms of the policy construct of this document to our national policy? That, you know, where are those concerns? What exactly are they in terms of feeling about having an uneven playing field? The second question I have is in relation to a presentation by Ms. Monseco. You spoke about the fact that there should be a registrar, but that registrar shouldn't be a pharmacist. Now, I mean, that's quite a huge ask. And so there's a preposition there that some people who have a pharmacy background won't be ideologically broad enough to be able to handle all these different modalities. And that may not be the case. And we have a gastroenterologist who has a fairly open mind sitting right next to you. So why that stipulation? And then lastly, and this question arises from a lobbying I have some of my learned colleagues here. And that is around the Traditional Health Practitioners Law, our Traditional Health Practitioners Act of 2007. And, you know, the question is, you know, the provisions that are made under that act are quite exhaustive, and we know that it's not been the kind of implementation that we want. So how much of what you're discussing today actually resulting from the Gap and Fat Act and can be resolved in terms of going through to that legislation as opposed to being in India?
I think the first one with regards to the African traditional medicines, member Goldie has covered me because I wanted to ask a question regarding that. But also, I think Ms. Masebo is agreeing today with her presentation that whatever she has raised regarding African traditional medicine, this does not entail anything regarding it. And I'm sure, Chair, one of the reasons in the last meeting we had when they came to make a presentation, our argument was being challenged that there must be no confusion here. Our African traditional leaders or healers, they must look at African traditional medicine in conjunction with the act, with the act that we're having as a country. And they must come to the portfolio committee and tell us on how can we strengthen it in terms of implementation. So I'm happy today that her understanding and her presentation today, it addresses exactly what we're concerned about as members of this portfolio committee that day. So today she has separated what is Western and what is African. And I think I'm happy about that separation. And I'm sure that will assist us and it will take us forward. But children, when coming to the presentation that was the first presentation that we presented. I've got a few questions that I want to ask. I don't remember of any presentation that was made on the 3rd of September 2014 to this portfolio committee. Unless my memory is going to be in but I don't remember it. Where they did see.
Sorry, just a restrain yourself. Because everybody must restrain themselves when you are making a presentation. You have an opportunity to respond. Thank you. You can proceed.
I think that with this bullet, maybe I need a clarity that in terms of her presentation to this committee on the 10th of September, we put in before public hearing, indicated that ATM will be regulated under SAFRA. This is the SAFRA, yeah. I'm sure I need to tell you this relationship. And at the end, so there's a statement also here that talks about if they use whatever they are proposing to us on with regards to the bill, if the department is not agreeing or even ask that the control of the committee are not supporting the constraints. I'm not sure if it's acceptable to ask questions. The reason that we made that they must come and make a presentation. It was basically that we want to understand exactly what are the issues that they want to raise regarding the bill. But if they are not engaging with us as the portfolio committee fair, I feel that it's either they are engaging us or they are pressing us, and I think to be acceptable. If they have a solution of going to court, why did they came to the portfolio committee? You know, I'm sure they should have gone to court unless somebody clarifies me, because to me I don't think it but if this is correct, check. I'm sure with regards to the Arnold Sydney, say thank you. I dedicate my presentation to the late Honorable Mario Arnold Sydney, MP, a friend who was humble catalyst in the founding days of the CNHA in see, in his way, this is a bad, bad girl. What does it mean? Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Chair. And when come the presentation from the team? Just as you currently mentioned, one, is there a reason why in your presentation there's more emphasis and no single reference to any African country that practices a similar African traditional medicine? Is there a reason why you're not giving some research that you've done and tell us more about Australia, Canada, India, which has a very little similarity with African traditional medicine? There's a very little similarity. I would be happy if you would have referred, give us some examples in some African countries, how they are regulating African traditional medicine within the context that we're discussing of SAPRA. How is other African countries doing it? So that we're able to consider the examples and relate to one of our own, rather than referring mainly to Western and try to link the Western with the African way, which is not similar. I would have loved to for you to so that at least to have got an example that you can relate, that we can associate with. So that's one. And then two, the bill does do away with the register. And it does apply to the CEO. It replaces with the CEO. And it's not the CEO, not the pharmacist. And that will be the register. And it's not the pharmacist. Like you are proposing, but the register, not the pharmacist. So it will be the CEO. That will be replacing the register web. And it's not going to be farmers. It's going to be anybody with the necessary skills and quality that the board, in consultation with the minister, will be able to say this is a fit and proper person to run in the organization. But my question is, where does it come from? This CEO is the main political figure. Because the CEO will not be a politician. Because SAPRA will still be under the Department of Health, of which the politician in that department is the minister and the deputy minister. Any other person will not be a political figure. But I don't know where does this notion comes from, that not the CEO will be a political figure. If you can just clarify that so that we've got the same understanding. I don't have the understanding that the CEO will be the political figure, in my view. And then lastly, the traditional health practitioners act of 2007 established a council. How far has the council progressed in relation to what you want to be? You don't want that council. You want to be part of SAPRA as traditional practitioners, African traditions. Is that what you are telling us? Or maybe the council is not functioning, and if you think that by being represented in SAPRA, then you will be solving the problem. We just want to understand what is the problem with the current arrangement where you must have your own council, which must do exactly the same work that Sapa is doing, but within the African traditional medicine, outside this Western style. Because if you go there, you swallow it. Do you want to swallow it? What's the problem having your own and then practice your own outside what is Western?
I hope you're noting, because you will have an opportunity to respond.
Thank you very much. I just have a comment, Honorable Chair, and it's just that what you're doing, you're talking to legislators, members of parliament, what their primary function is, grant laws and provide laws. And therefore, we are friends, not the enemies. We're not executive. Executive is represented by officials across the way. He is a very senior official. Most senior officials of the Department of Health represent the executive with brought this piece of legislation to us. Now we're considering it after listening to input from interested parties. And you're an interested party with a valuable contribution to make. I just wanted to say we are not your enemy. We are your friend. But your friend in terms of making good arguments, solid, persuasive arguments that are evidence based. And what we clearly, as an attitude, as an ethos, is want to integrate modern medicine into traditional forms of healing in a way that makes sense. There's no mechanism to that. But clearly, that's the goal that I have kept. And you're talking to people, in our ranks of medical doctors, the professor of human genetics, people who know the constitution, people who know what talents are, and so on and so forth. So I just want to endorse the sentiment of my colleague that when you speak about court action, the court action is not against us as parliamentarians, it's against the province. There's no place in this committee. And therefore, the whole statistic, I think, is highly inappropriate. But even leaving that aside, what we're looking for, therefore, forward to is finding sensible proposals upon which you can act when you set about rewriting the existing piece of legislation, because they have the power to rewrite it. And therefore, we want to rewrite it based on your input that makes sense. So we are all ears to hear good ideas from you. And so the door's open, the door's not shut to you. And therefore, just in terms of approach, you don't just wait in peace to do something by backtracking them. Thank you very much.
Dr. Maizela.
Thank you, Chair. I think we have a very good understanding now, more or less, of what you want. Except that when you start saying, if you don't get what you want, you go to court, it's not very strategic. And if a deal is bad, we look at it, you come with the suggestions, and we amend it. It's not a tool guy that you have. We'll always go to court because we don't like what you did. Okay? Like if you treat somebody and he doesn't get cured, you must go to court, right? Because you promise you're going to cure them. And we'll run to court for every patient that you fail to cure. And it's not going to end in a very... And I like your second choice here. No. I think the only traditional medicine association, what you could be doing is to get everybody on board. And then you have a very strong United Traditional Healers Association, you know. And when you have that, then you can come and say, now we are ready to challenge stuff. You know, we are not doing this, we are ready, we are all united. Otherwise we do this, the other ones sue us and say, why did you get those in and you didn't get us in and all sorts of things. So if you use this second choice, we'll be ready for you when you come back. And then we can amend whatever is said. Because how is it to make you happy and do your job properly without fear or favor? And we are there to help, but you don't come and threaten us and say you're bad at you. What? We have to work together. Let's try to work in unity and achieve the purpose for which we are all sitting here for. Thank you.
Okay. I think you have heard the question and the comment. The swallowing is your hand to vomit now. Because they have swallowed, you must not vomit. Thank you. I'm not sure you're going to handle it, where you're going to start, or you'll sort of talk amongst yourselves.
Thanks a lot, Chair.
I'm sure definitely it was never our intention to create some sort of anonymity between us. You know, we come from a history that says all legislators are part of us, and they come from the communities that represent us. And it comes from communities where, you know, where we live, and it's us that puts you in this position. So speaking to you, it's not necessarily because we want you to attack you, but precisely because we feel we so aggrieved with certain things that we feel. You're not actually moving, you know, as fast as we'd like you to. So if there are any misunderstandings and so on, please understand it within that, you know, spirit. But in any case, let me just quickly go into some of the questions that have been directly asked to us. The comment of the pharmacist, we do not necessarily have something so particular about, you know, not wanting the pharmacist. But then it is precisely because history and experience has taught us that pharmacists tend to be more on the side of allopathic medicine, and even the current pharmacist of the MCC today should never, even at one point, even when invited them, they've never come on board to clarify, the stance, to, you know, assist us understand exactly why is it that traditional medicine is not regulated as engineered that is only traditional medicine, but as complementary medicine. But if you may, if you can want to understand, you know, currently on shelves of many stores, we do not have a traditional medicine product, but rather we have a complementary product. And these are the works of the MCC talent. So that is why we're saying we are unapologetically wanting someone that's not necessarily attached to allopathic medicine. And that, I understand where you come from. That does not necessarily mean that, you know, if we have to bring someone who understands all biases, that person may not be skewed towards allopathic medicine. It will not necessarily be like that, but we are saying, at least let's try a new one. Probably that one would assist us. You know, get somebody that's at least neutral, at least fresh, that would be a welcoming to other specific biases. That is precisely the reason. And the other thing is that, you know, also our understanding of things is that, you know, maybe let me just go through that one. Okay, when you look into the Traditional Health Practitioners Act, I may not necessarily thought I have gone forgotten a bit on which particular section, but I think it's section 47 that suggests that there shall be a traditional medicine regulation, you know, system that is put in place. It is, we were then begged by that understanding to say, if that is then going to be there, it's beautiful. However, understanding how the MCC, the Medical Control Council, has been working, and what the proposal that we have before us today that says all medicines in this country shall be governed by someone, we then said, no, we cannot use this to go alone. Instead, let's ensure that we have a someone which is supposedly, you know, the mother body of all medicines, sciences in this country, to, you know, which are going to regulate all of us, all of the medicines, to then say to them, if you have to be a mother to offer a traditional medicine, please note that this is how one will be governed. You know, and not, you know, so that at least we are able to distinguish between the FATA proposed and an NFC, and an NFC which has not been so useful to us. So it is precisely on that understanding, not necessarily because, you know, not necessarily for any other reason. Now, the other question by Honourable Member Mahalela on the issue, but I think also my colleagues are going to respond to that, on African, you know, in African countries that are implementing African traditional medicine. It is so unfortunate that we don't have so many countries that are implementing African traditional medicine as medicine. But we have countries that have already started implementing, you know, some of the recommendations by the World Health Organization in the strategy to say, let us formulate associations of, I mean, councils of traditional health practitioners. Unfortunately, they are very small countries, even Uganda, which seems to be more ahead. Ghana, which is more ahead of all of the African countries, does not necessarily, you know, come through as a country that one would really, really want to look up to as really leading country. So
there's somewhat of a problem. But instead, what we normally do, you know, at the teacher level, is that we normally, you know, want to learn a lot from China, from India, because those ones are well ahead in terms of also research and how they are structured, you know, as African traditional, as traditional medicine institution. So in Africa, today, we do not have any country that would say who is far well ahead other than probably Ghana. To some extent, because even Zimbabwe sure coming out very, 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 very good. Unfortunately, it ended at the council level. It never went above council in terms of implementing traditional medicine, putting together traditional, you know, issues of R&D in traditional medicine and so on. So it's still very, very much far behind. and probably on that one, and then on the register, we are saying, yes. We have realized that SAFRA proposes that it needs to have a CEO. We are saying the CEO will be subsumed in political work of the organization. Now, when we talk about political work, we're not necessarily meaning that is a political person. We are referring to the fact that leading an organization is old, is highly political. So if we want someone that is responsible to then look into the affairs of medicine registrations and all of that, which is on its own, it's hectic work to be done. So we feel that rather than we need to have a register to look into that. But we have supposed that that register, please shoot the time, not be a and definitely we have highlighted the reasons why. We were not in fact treated by previous pharmacists, and we feel no, it's enough now. So at least try and redress. Let's try and get someone who has at least some basic good understanding of all the sciences that we have in the country. We are all able to enjoy kind of space. So it's certainly study because we're looking for somebody that is probably at the status of minister or someone that is competing with minister. No, we are saying the person is responsible for the institution. And being responsible for the institution means that you are politically responsible and accountable to public on behalf of that particular institution. And then on SAFRA, I think somehow I've responded to this to say, why do we want to be represented under SAFRA? The reason is that, you know, in SAFRA, the V6 is proposing that anything that is less than be clustered under SAFRA. And the fear that we have in as medicine practitioners ourselves as well is that we may be clustered under SAFRA, you know, and fairly being put in there without having made our own contribution to us, how we then want to be clustered under that. Not because we want him to be clustered under, no. But next, our ideal model is that let us just not be. But now, Bill 6 is proposing that anything that is medicine be put under the auspices of SAFRA. They say, no, if this is the case, then it's going to disadvantage us, usually. Because even the methodology that you apply to interesting African traditional medicine is not similar to Western models, Western medicine models, you know, when investigating, you know, Western drugs. So we say, no, it's going to be a huge, huge disservice. So it is catastrophic because of that. Thank you very much.
Just want to add something to what Patricia said. And I'm not sure whether Wilma Jane was actually suggesting that somehow scientific medicine can contribute something to traditional medicine. Because one of the points that I'm making is that so-called evidence-based medicine is not just about double blinds. Evidence-based medicine is about double blinds and the experience of medical doctors. So we have to realize that science is not just about measurement, but also about experience. And traditional systems of medicine have hundreds, if not thousands, of years of experience. And what I'm suggesting is that we need to honor the question of experience as well. So these are the two separate paradigms we're talking about. One which tends to emphasize experiment, and the other system of medicine which tends to emphasize experience. And medicines that we use, if you think about herbal medicines, I mean, there are textbooks of herbal medicines which go back hundreds of years. Modern medicine is young compared to that. So if you took a herb and sent it to the laboratory, the pharmacist could tell you very little about that herb. But you go speak to a traditional herbalist about that herb. He could tell you the experience that he has had that comes out of his village for hundreds of years. So all I'm saying is that there are two different kinds of sciences. It's the science of experiment and weighing, which can be done in a laboratory and double-blind and all these kinds of things. When it actually comes to having a patient in front of you, what's really important is your experience and the way that you learn from your peers and your teachers. So these are two systems of medicine. The one systems are chemical drugs which are used to treat disease. The other system are natural medicines which are supporting health. It's called natural because they are natural medicines which support the natural processes in the body. Drugs are chemicals. And why we need to have a totally separate regulating system for the two kinds of products. One which are chemicals and one which are natural, which come from experience of hundreds of thousands of years. So that's one point that I wanted to make. And the other point is that traditional African healers and all traditional doctors belong to this one paradigm. They belong to the paradigm which supports health. Natural medicines do not treat disease. They don't have to treat disease. Because if you want to treat disease, you need something very, very powerful to interfere with the biochemical process in order to alleviate symptoms. But alleviating symptoms will never make a person healthy. Only health products can make a person healthy. And once a person is healthy enough, that health will do the healing of the disease. As an integrative doctor, obviously I have to make a diagnosis of disease, but it's the most interesting to me of all. What I want to know is, what do I need to help this patient? What is his belief system? What is his emotional stuff that he's carrying around? And how can I use my medicines, my natural medicines, to support the healthy functions of the body? Because I know if I can support those healthy functions, and the person gets more healthy, the health will do healing. So these are very separate ideas, and if a pharmacologist doesn't understand, yes, I am a specialist in medicine, but it took me 30 years to discover how to improve health. It doesn't just come from reading books. They have to go through the experience and recognize that, hang on, there's another way to help the person become healthy. And not just treating symptoms. Treating symptoms, you can even with these drugs and you'll stay with the drugs for the rest of his life. You want to make a person strong and healthy again, you've got to support health. And when 40% of people are deficient in magnesium, 30% in selenium, when iron and all these products are major problematic problems, they don't need drugs. They need natural remedies to support the body's inner healing capacity. That's the guardian capacity. And so I'm appealing to this committee to have a look at these two separate paradigms and not try and subsume all the natural medicines under a regulatory body run by biomedical specialists who have absolutely very little understanding of this paradigm. African traditional medicine is a different paradigm. It works with belief systems. I remember the chair lady last time we were here, she spoke about her experience of somebody with cancer. And she said to the person, you need to go back home and kill a cow. And he went back home and she said that she saw him a few months later, totally well. His cancer disappeared. All he had done was kill the cow. He didn't need a drug. So all I'm saying is that there are different belief systems. And there are different ways of dealing with things. And I'm appealing to this committee to please have a look at the different paradigms and to recognize that we need a separate regulatory process for our everybody. Thank you.
Well, a few points that haven't been covered by the previous presenters. In terms of the Honourable Bowman, the WHO strategy 2014 to 2023, page 19, clearly separates the traditional medicines of the indigenous or practiced indigenously in the country, which are of the country or innate in that country, and complementary medicines, which are what they state are products that are non-indigenous. If you've got that strategy document, you'll see on the bottom of the page makes two distinct classifications. these products. And our department of health has looked at this, and I think in a discussion I had with the current director general in a previous meeting in passing, she said that, you know, this has to be separated. We cannot believe why this paradigm has to now be such separated again, that there's one rules for African traditional medicines and another council, and one for all the other traditional medicines under the prevailing sovereign. There's inequality in that. You can't have, you know, these traditions all primarily in herbal medicines. Herbs are herbs. They found all over the planet, you know, and they're used in very, very similar ways. You know, they are sister sciences. And we don't believe there should be a separation. And constitutionally, it creates a huge separation. In terms of the Traditional Health Practitioner Act, Section 47J states, and I'll read it, 47.1J states that the minister may, after consultation with the council, make regulations relating to traditional medicines in order to protect the public and to ensure safety of use, administration, and application. Now, we're not sure. There's a schism here in the way the department and the ministry and everything. I don't know, maybe it's just an ambiguity in the law. And maybe ideology between the department and the ministry, I'm not sure. But at this portfolio committee, there was a briefing on the Medicine and Related Substances Amendment Bill 8, 3rd September 2014 from the Portfolio Committee on Health. And on page 15 it states, why the amendments for this bill? And it says, for the accommodation of poorly regulated and unregulated products. Example, complementary and alternative medicines and African traditional medicines. It is very clear that this committee were informed before the public hearings that African traditional medicines would fall under the law. Now, we have a situation with the Traditional Health Practitioners Act that they have the jurisdiction to deal with that matter. There's a problem. We need to decide who's going to regulate these products. Would it be the SAHPRA? Or will it be the Traditional Health Practitioners Council? Further in that presentation, it's quite clear the Medicine Control Council expert committee from page 11 is North Canada, and in the organogram is complementary medicines and underneath African traditional medicines. So the SDC currently is assuming that they have the jurisdiction of the traditional medicines because the Act 101 definition of a medicine is all encompassing. But on the other hand, the traditional healer fought hard to get their practice through Parliament, which gave them the right to regulate their own medicines. So I think somewhere in the department there needs to be a decision making on who is going to regulate traditional medicines. And maybe this committee can confirm that and get that going and speed up that process. Because we feel that the synthesized and the complementary medicines are being severely oppressed by the current regulatory regime. While traditional African medicines, which are not being regulated at all. It makes no sense. You know, people ask us, oh, I can't get my health product from the shop, but I can go into this barber shop, I can go into Discom, I can go into these places, and I can buy these traditional medicines off the shelf, but there's no regulation for them. Why? And on the front page of our presentation, I've just put two graphics there, pictures that represent these traditional African products that are going into common. I'm not looking traditional products, African products, or indigenous medicine on a one-on-one basis between the practitioner and the patient. I'm talking about one for many. Products that have now been put on the shelf in commons. There are many of them. I did a survey in a hollow store in the Western Cape over the last 3 months, about 150 of these African traditional medicines competing on the same shelf space as complementary medicines and pharmaceutical drugs for that matter. But yet there's no regulation for that. It's unfair that there's regulation for one and no regulation for the other. So we would like the Parliament to at least look at creating for the sister sciences a regulatory body that would balance the protection of the public and also the choice of the public. We wrote a letter to the registrar at the end of January. I wrote a letter, I attached numerous product photographs of all these products, and I have asked for an unequivocal statement from the Medicines Control Council. What is the regulatory status of these specific products? As yet, we have not received an acknowledgement or a reply. This is the problem we're having with the administrative arm of this in medicine in this country. We've been stonewalled. And that's why we've come to this committee as a last resort. We believe, and in terms of threats, legal threats, we are frustrated, we are aggrieved, and I'm sure you've picked that up, because we are having these problems with the regulator. And we would like to exhaust all remedies from the state first, before approaching the court. And that's why we're here today, to talk to you guys and say, look, you know the fight. Hold it right. Let's get this sorted out. Because it's not going to go away. I must start the question. I'm sorry, I've come from 20 years in the struggle of fighting for natural medicines. Precious and Sosa will remember from 1996 on the fight we had between these paradigms. Sorry, I apologize. The Director General. The Ambrosini statement, it was recorded on, it's even on YouTube, where he said that this bill was a bad bill. We think that in terms of the way the bill is structured now, it's a bad bill, and we're going to ask you to help it if it's no longer a bad bill. Okay. In terms of representativity of our organization, that was a question that came up from who are we at the end of the day? We represent a whole lot of all the integrated medical doctors in South Africa. Those are all the doctors that use natural health products in their practices. We represent a large number of disaffected allied health practitioners who are also being restricted by these regulations or regulation processes and will be carried out in the SARA. Because they've decided to their patients, but they're not going to exist because the onerous regulatory regime that is created for those products takes them away from their practices to give to their patients. A huge problem. So we are an organization, an alliance, that brings in practitioners, we bring in members of the public, we've got a few public colleagues who are with us on this, and we also represent the retailers in the industry, the health stores, who are affected. So we are quite well represented across the value chain at this present time. We do not say we represent everybody. We could never represent everybody. Not even the current government represents everybody. Okay? But we do represent a large section. And we are bringing on in more traditional healers organizations. Some of them are sitting there today. Paradigm chiefs, etc., etc. All very interested in what they might have aside from them and how it affects them. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Just on a lighter note, I hope TMG is not going to report that slaughtering a cow yields cancer. Because I think it would be very bad on me as the chair during the meeting where a statement was going to say this committee has come to the conclusion that slaughtering a cow yields cancer. That's on a lighter note. I'm sure that there are follow-up questions from members so that we can then proceed on this issue. You have to make an addition then. Okay. And then I don't think Honorable James Holmes, Honorable James, you welcome Honorable Majas, Honorable Ndaba, and Honorable Maitena. Thank you. And let's hear the addition from yourself.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. That on a lighter note, Jefferson, I think the slaughtering of the cow was not necessarily to do with actual curing, but rather to, you know, as a form of ritual to balance energies. So probably the manner in which it was put, I think it was not necessarily the right way. Otherwise, it has nothing to do with curing, but rather in balancing energies. Okay. there was the question, Jefferson, on why are we not mobilizing other healer organizations and coming with them to make this particular presentation. We've mobilized all healer organizations. And what I assume left there's a colleague of mine who happens to be in the Director of Traditional Medicine in the Department of Health. I think he has also seen for himself that we did not necessarily only just send this for input to only just the organizations that are at national level, but also we sent it to bioprospective committee members, which includes, different departments of government. And secondly, which also includes associations, the associations which are led with major, presence at national level. And then also we included also counselors, the science counselors in all the provinces. So we sent it to a variety of stakeholders that have interest in African traditional medicine. So this is whatever that you come with here is not necessarily just workshop on the teacher, but also has some broader understanding of the entire stakeholders that have interest in that. So, and also when we came here for the first time, we also mobilized another healer organization. But also, Ketan is quite far from other healer organizations to come and make presence there, and even a presentation here. But instead, what they do is that they have belief in that when we put together a document and send it to them, they just input it and give it to us to present that. So, and then I think that I just need to make the chairperson and probably the control committee aware of that I sit on a technical committee on African on traditional medicine, which is housed within the SABS, which is South African's Bureau of Standards. And in that technical committee, we look into what sort of medicines are they available that have gone through regular standardization processes. In Africa and internationally, in the continent Africa, in South Africa, and also, you know, internationally. And then in South Africa, we currently don't have any medicines that have gone through stabilization processes. That's what we're trying to do right now. But then, the reason why we felt it was important for us to probably establish, you know, some alliance with complementary medicine is precisely a number of medicines, you know, that are already on the shelf today and have gone through stabilization, are presented as complementary medicine. That is your choice. The many, the aloes and so on. They have all been standardized in other countries like China, like India and so on. And that is why when you have meetings with India, you know, advising us on how to set up standards for traditional medicine in South Africa and also indigenous medicine in South Africa, at least we are able to follow on how they've done it in their own countries with medicines that are indigenous in their own countries and some medicines that are just fallen from their own countries, which are indigenous in South Africa. So it was on that basis that you said, no, if that is the case, well, in any case, we are all working on traditional medicine. But the only decision is ours, we want to focus on African medicine, which is directed to by the traditional health traditional act. So, but then it does not necessarily mean that we cannot borrow from experiences from other countries and also see how far they've gone in terms of developing their own. So this is why it's on the basis that we said, no, if there is so much work that has been done and there are monographs available, maybe we can work together. And it's on that basis that we said, let us work together because in any case we have to suffice it. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much for clarification in that order. It's your turn, yes, Honourable James.
Thank you very much. Just very quickly, the question was asked about the origin of the quote from Mario Rossini at the back of the presentation, where he used the phrase of that, but he was referring to the protection of state information, though not a medical. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert Chair. I just want to come back to this point on the argument that you made around the unconstitutional separation that we found was there because of the adoption of WHO policy. Coming back to that document, the WHO strategy, on page 15, it does indeed differentiate. In fact, I mentioned that when I asked the question, it speaks about traditional and conventional medicine, traditional being indigenous, complementary being non-indigenous, and then it conflicts to traditional complementarism, TNCM, and uses the term for most of the documents. So there seems to be harmonization there. And your argument strongly says that, oh no, there's a separation, and that our policymaking is influenced by that, and so we've got it when it's discriminatory. I mean, this is what the document says. But I'm just trying to, it's a 10-year link, a chunk of logic there that I can't quite understand. I think the reason why this is blaming this point is because we have to make policy analysis of evidence and international best practice. WHO is a lot of time gathering evidence and making these kind of recommendations. So if we're going to throw it out and say we can't really use it as a reference, you know, it has to be a very strong rational argument. I'm not too sure if we've got that yet.
Honorable James, Honorable James,
I've been covered by most of the speakers, by the other members, but I just wanted to say to the team that has done this presentation, I think they have been this presentation to us, So but I was really only a part of the first translation. And Sutton also assured him that this committee is very much committed to evangelism. That is the reason why we allowed him to come back again and make a presentation for us, because we want to take everybody for that. Also, now the billion for us. And what he would have expected as a committee is now continuing to work with us through the equity amendment, see where we can amend it, where we can, and you know, the bill might be there to some people, but, you know, I mean, I'm actually saying what they like. It might seem there, but it needs your input too, to make it a bill that will favor people. And that's the commitment of this person, to serve our people, to give them quality health care. And we can never undermine the respect that you get from us. Because our people are just speaking to one of the members, they absolutely believe in traditional health. And we can never go away with them. They never go away. But we have to find a way on how to work together. And that's why we need your input. So that this way we can all go with. Say where we need to make our amendments, where we need to make additions, and so that this bill we all can together, not tell each other to vote, but make sure that we all own it and we are very good to, it will also benefit our people, that, and that's not important. Thank you, Chairman.
Madam
Lava.
Same thing. I want to speak on the item here, public access and vision of the rent. If Lady Chair, I can get the correct solution with regards to your land plan. What exactly do you want the department to do, or what exactly do you want us as the Portfolios Committee to do with regards to your land plan? Because I may interpret it wrong. And then with regards to consultation, I see here the regional visa organization and the traditional health practitioner in her country were never informed of these intentions by the ministry. I'm not sure whether I say you were not informed or you were not consulted. Can you
come in, Sheila? Are you coming?
Whatever you
yourself or into somebody's body. There are psychosomatic medicine, there are psychiatric medicine, holy water is medicine, isn't it? Alright? So, what do you say about that? I mean, everything that is practiced as medicine to heal people must be known what it is. It is not known that you mean something, that's where the resolution of care with him. But if you are organized, you are strong. All the people organized in one, you can actually respond to idea to regulate those medicine, traditional medicines, as a traditional medicine. I don't know where the cut is, the separation line, but you know better, I'm not in that business. So that's what we want you to do, to help you. Don't worry about people taking things in the shelf and as complementary medicine and things like that. They take all the water, put it on the shelf and as complementary medicine. Fine, it's how they think they can make money. But we want your association to say, we are on a key diet plan, and this is the trade we are using, and this is what we use to heal people. That's all we want. Not she comes tomorrow with his organization because he's on that Palmolive or whatever, Unilever, and this one comes tomorrow because it's sponsored by. So then we have all edicts and things like that. But please don't threaten us that you are going to take us to the law if we don't agree with you or if we agree with you. It's not going to help. We want to work in harmony, understanding each other where we stand. We can only talk if we make something, you come back, we talk and correct it. We are there to correct, not to be antagonistic and fight. What? No, it gives us now an impression that you are having and you are threatening us. You are having a threat that we are guiding you. Don't do this, I'm going to do this because some people things are going to be removed from the shelf. Who are they? What are they? We are suspicious now that you are not coming here with clean hands. He who comes before he could must have clean hands, isn't it? So let's go and clean hands, make our mistakes, correct them, and we move forward. But the important thing is don't stop doing what you do, right? Nobody says you mustn't stop it, but just keep on refining. And if you are having your home, then you become stronger. And then you can laugh at the other guys because they are visiting what is already there. You are refining your home and so on and so on. The Chinese have a corner of the market with anti-malaria. Some peasants were doing this course in someone. And then they realized that the malaria gets cured by that. And everybody is running for it. They are making lots of money. Then they refine it and they put it on the shelf, export it. How many you export? In fact, the Italians should be learning from you. We can help you. They are there. If you don't get satisfaction, come to us. We can talk and say, yeah, this one, this Lingana, and you know which one and which one mixed with which one. Then if we want help to find that and be able to body, why not? That's what the government is all about. To have your own manufacturing and refine anything complementary medicine on the shelf. I don't see the reason why it should be off the shelf. If they're in there, why do they remove them? Because somehow the technology helps. The regulation is just that we shouldn't give people poisonous things and some people are here to say how if we did this before. And that's all. There is no contradiction here. And that is the people's government. It's approachable. We are sitting here to look at the best possible method or way to help you get to that what you can do better and help the people. I mean, people went to Nigeria for oil water, right? And there was an accident, you know? And you wouldn't come and bring those bottles of oil water, we throw them away, so we don't know what is in there. Medicine for them is psychosomatic. You know, if they drink it, they feel, they are good, and they love it, psychological. That's what you want. Thank you.
We would like to have your responses from there. We would then have to close this part of the agenda. So I'm not sure whether the two of you would like to respond or only one. But most of the issues were commented, and I think one clarity. Thanks.
I just want to make one comment around what the losses and spoke about. because he talked about the so-called active ingredients, and that argument is a typical argument of one paradigm. You know, is how you take the active ingredient and find the medicine from that basis. But when you're talking about a herb, there are a number of active ingredients, and the so-called inactive ingredients are as essential to the active ingredient. I always say like a wild horse. A wild horse without the reins is wild. In its rain. So the several inactive ingredients are as essential to the whole herb. And that's a different understanding with regard to these paradigms. You mentioned the word willow bark. Willow bark has never killed anyone as far as I know. But aspirin killed hundreds if not thousands of people. So the moment you move it from a natural product into a drug, you have two different kinds of medicines completely. And all I'm suggesting is that drugs require strict high risk requires very, very strict regulations. And what I'm suggesting is that low risk natural medicines require a different kind of approach, a different kind of regulatory authority that is not the same as drugs. The moment you put them all together into medicine and make it sound like all medicines have to be strictly regulated, we run into trouble. That's why we need special regulators who understand the difference in this paradigm, that the whole herb is unique in every possible way. And talking about active ingredients become a little bit of a biomedical way of trying to deal with the problem. We need separate authority for this.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Probably if I may just directly respond also to the comment by the Honorable Member, I'll probably say, probably just to complement that is just working on in terms of the methodologies for research. I think that is why we are saying within SAPRA, when they do the clinical trials, let's make sure that we are accurate there. Because we want to ensure that the methodology that is applied to research specifically African traditional medicine should at least be, you know, biased towards African traditional medicine as opposed to being just a basket kind of an approach where they apply methodologies for researching, you know, allopathic Western medicine. So that is that. And then on the one thing that you say, which is for me very, very powerful, you know, the fact that as our people themselves, you know, representing our interests, you are saying you want to give African traditional medicine and other systems to allopathic medicine and here, and at least make sure that African traditional medicine, like any other form of medicine, is given, you know, is uplifted to some good standards and also, you know, enjoys the pride of faith. I think that is very, very powerful. That is why we are here. We are here not because we want to just, you know, to come to Parliament. We are here because we are saying to yourself, as our members, as our people, we are saying to you, please do exactly as we appointed you to do. As we elected you to do, to say, look at all sides and ensure that at least we are able to treat us. Because you cannot have only one form of science that controls and has a hegemony over all of us. I think that is very much unfair. So that is the dilemma that we give you, and we would like you to please try and have a look at it. Now, you know, we were saying, as a traditional healing organization, all of us, we have never been consulted. You know, traditional healing organizations have never been consulted. You know, traditional health practitioners council itself has never been consulted on this particular situation. When you have to refer our medicines, will have to be how to retain SAPRA. And we feel it is really unfair that we are not consulted, you know, by a department which is directly responsible to our interests. And when they know actually in actual fact that this is gonna have dire consequences on how we exist going forward. And they know very well that we exist. We have a traditional medicine directorate, which at least was supposed to be given the responsibility to work with us and coordinate us so that actually we are consulted on this. Instead, they are giving us on page 90 of this particular proposed bill that they only consulted pro-allopathic medicine organizations. And that is very bad. That is why we are saying to you as our people, please consider this as not representative enough, and let's try and review it and ensure that it is reflective and representative of all of the sciences. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. You also said about the last point.
So we might.
In terms of the Brazilian patients, I was just going to
confirmed it was an error on my behalf. I was presenting or putting this together at 3 o'clock in the morning, so I think I got it wrong. And so now I'm initially withdraw that statement about obviously anything is with that bill. Honourable Fulmock, in terms of the WHO policy, if you look at the policy, in one instance it talks about the two different systems, indigenous and non-indigenous, and then as you write your collection further on, it kind of moves them together into one. In the regulatory system we're sitting in South Africa, there are 40 systems. We would like it to move towards one, as the WHO policy dictates, or shows they're not dictates, sets out guidelines for. So we're in a transitionary stage right now, where we believe that the current state is the inequality, but through the presentation we've made, and many others will come back, we would like there to be harmonization between them so that we can have this one traditional and natural health products as stipulated in those policies. The Honourable Ndaba, the Chairman of Secretary has already explained to you that there was no communication between the Ministry and Department and the traditional health stakeholders, nor the traditional health practitioners interim council regarding the inclusion of African traditional medicines in SAHPRA. The reason they're here and they've mobilized is because of, briefings to this committee by the department, which on public record stating that these products will be outside. So they came as a matter of urgency in the last hour, saying, stop the bus. We want to be consulted. And that's why we're here today, and we really, really thank you for your honest and good faith that you're showing us in working a way forward. And I think it's better. It's the first time we actually had this happen, and I think my heart will not keep it as a result. In terms of the willowbark analogy of aspirin having been derived from willowbark and then from another herb, intermediate, which was meadow seed, when you remove an isolated ingredient from its whole matrix, the plant matrix, one ingredient.
Are we discussing the sciences now?
Quick science.
Oh, okay.
I thought we were on the deal. Okay. It becomes a medicine, which is correct, and then it should be regulated under the medicine's regulations, because it becomes a pharmaceutical substance. But if it's still in natural traditional form, holder, it must have a separate regulatory body until such time as it has been refined. I think that's it. Thank you very, very much.
No, thank you very much for the input and the questions, and thank you very much on behalf of the committee for the presentation. I also thought that we, from the portfolio committee side, we did request all interested parties from the beginning to come and make presentations on this proposed. So we didn't close anybody out. So it was there in the public space for everybody who got the interest to come and make a presentation or a submission on whatever they think is actually relevant. But we want to apologize on behalf of ourselves for you not really maybe picking it up at a particular point in time, or picking up when you receive that particular document that you receive. But we hope in the future that we will request that some of the advice that we take out must be explicitly as to what is it that we are dealing with. Thank you very much for being a good audience. Go in peace. From here, what's going to happen is a simple process with other presentation that we have had. We'll continue to engage the committee on your presentation that you have made. We'll look at your documents the same way we have been doing with other presentations. And I think you're more than welcome also to attend some of our portfolio committee meetings where we're having engagement. But unfortunately, you will not have an opportunity to raise a point of order in that situation. You will only be able to listen to how we reflect and reconcile all the issues that have been Thank you very much for coming, all of you. We'll be waiting as members of the committee to finish the agenda. You can take a 5 minute break. Thank you. I see you still enjoy sitting here.
working on this.
Okay, what else do I need to do next week?
support, and then the damage to the class will be actually